Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
It is the box score breakdown for this Saturday, the 27th of December, 2020. I had to think about it then because I'm obviously in Australia. So we're on Sunday, the 27th. You guys are on the 26th. I'll get it right eventually. Oh, it's doing my head in today. I'm still in a food coma, I think, from Christmas. As I said, it is the box score breakdown. All thanks to Hoop Ball. You can go and check them out at hoop-ball.com. I am Scotty. I am your host. You can find me on Twitter at TheHarlander23. Mr. J, you can find him on Twitter at Mr. Jolly of Sydney. He's not here today. Before I introduce my first guest, the Fantasy Pass. Yes, just because draft season is over, you brewskied 150'd your way to a hell of a team. The season has just begun. The Fantasy Pass is the best deal in the industry at $4.99 per month, and we are into the regular season. There's zero commitment. Sign up for 1 month for just $5, and if you don't like it, you can cancel it. We know you'll love it, but it's always to have that nice little option. The Fantasy Pass is everything you'll need to dominate all year. Updating projections, new fantasy appraiser tools, schedule and streaming charts, pickups and drops, and our newest and coolest feature, the Hoopball Discord server, where you can hang out with the Hoopball pros and around the clock, like Mr. J, like Adam King, like Dan Bespris, and get one-on-one help with your team. So please do go and check it out. Head to hoop-ball.com, click on the Fantasy Pass ad just below the media wall. And as we get into a massive slate of 10 games today, including one that is still going in overtime, I have with me a guest. A guest who was on the show with Mr. J less than a week ago. So he's about as regular as you can find. Former Roto World and Bleacher Report, now host of the Lakers Pod on Hoopball. Ethan Norroff, hello, mate.
Great to be here, man. What an introduction. And the only thing different than my last appearance was I think I'm about 3 to 5 pounds heavier after all this Christmas Mexican food.
Oh, man. We were talking about that off air. That sounded delightful. My guts were starting to rumble. So if anyone hears any weird noise, it's just my belly wanting some of that marvelous Mexican food. Hey, before we jump into these big slate of games, something I noticed today, the Cavs backcourt, how special it kind of looked. How do you think that's going to shake out?
Man, I mean, I think there were a lot of questions about can this backcourt work together, right? We haven't seen them play in some period of time prior to this new season restarting, but so far so good in Cleveland. I mean, Darius Garland has got to be one of those guys who people took late in their fantasy drafts that they got to be just absolutely thrilled with. And Colin Sexton looks like he's ready to take another step forward. But the more encouraging thing today was that the Cavs were at full strength with the front court of Drummond, who had a huge game, and Love was back, and those two in the backcourt were still able to get it done at a really high clip.
And another game that played today had a couple of guys who we probably didn't think of as being it kind of things. Kyle Anderson for the Grizz, DeAndre Hunter for the Atlanta Hawks. It both looked really good.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, right, when we found out that Jaren Jackson Jr. was going to be out at least until next month, that Brandon Clark might have been sort of the natural recipient, and people sort of forgot about slow-mo Kyle Anderson because of the mysterious injury. I believe it was the shoulder injury last season, that knocked him out. So recency bias there. But it's been Kyle Anderson who stepped up, and he had a huge game tonight. He's a guy who should definitely not be floating on waiver wires. He could score a little bit, but that's not his main value. It's the defensive stats, it's the rebounds, the across-the-box score production, which is what we love here on Box Score Breakdown. And DeAndre Hunter is a guy who played heavy minutes when he got into the starter's lineup or into a starter's role last season. Looks like it's going to be the same story again in Atlanta. John Collins struggling with foul trouble through the first couple of games, and now Clint Capela has no timetable to return. So DeAndre Hunter, fourth overall pick last year, I think he's a guy who should be rostered in 12-team leagues.
And with that, let's segue into our first game for the day. Atlanta Hawks, 122 defeating the Grizzlies, 112. It was a little bit closer than it showed with just 2 points difference with 5 minutes to go. And we'll start on the Atlanta side and Trae Young. That kid continues to be a machine. And he is. He's still a kid. He's very young. 35 minutes, 36 points, 3 rebounds, 9 assists, 10 from 24 from the field, shot just 1 from 7 from deep, and 15 from 17 from the charity stripe, with production like that at the charity stripe itself almost league winning. What do you think about Trae?
Okay, I have no shares of Trae. And, you know, if I go back to my drafts and look at where he was taken, I feel like he might have deserved to be taken even earlier. I think this is the year, and this is the first time I'm saying it on a podcast, so hear me this. I think this is the year Trae Young finishes as a higher fantasy asset than Steph Curry. How about that?
Absolutely. So let's have a look at a couple of other lines. Gallinari didn't play today, injured as well. Hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than the outlook for Clint Capela, which is no timetable. DeAndre Hunter, as we mentioned, played extremely well today, 35 minutes with a double-double, 15 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 blocks, shot 5 from 11 from the floor, 2 from 4 from deep. He played extremely well. John Collins as well, 27 minutes with a double-double for himself, 13 points, 10 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 4 from 9 from the field and missed all 3 shots from deep. And then Kevin Huerter, who decided to show up today, interestingly enough, 26 minutes, 21 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. He got 8 from 12 from the floor and 5 from 4 from deep. Any of those guys seem interesting to you?
I mean, I think Kevin Huerter could be a guy who, depending upon the construct of your team, you could certainly use. Outside of that, I feel like we're only a couple games in, right? So we're not super reactionary when it comes to the waiver wire. But is there anybody in that group that I feel like I might be overlooking there?
I very much think Huerter's a sit and wait. I think John Collins is definitely, whilst he dropped in drafts towards the start of the season, I think there were some concerns with Capela and Gallinari and everyone going there. I think he's still very much top 40 value. And then Hunter, if you've got him late in drafts and you chose him over Cam Reddish, you probably took the right guy.
I think if you're somebody who sits there with their fantasy team for John Collins, and you took John Collins in, let's say, the third round over a guy like Brandon Ingram or even Jaylen Brown, you're probably feeling a little frustrated by that decision.
Anyway, let's move on to the Memphis side. Ja Morant, of course, that kid is a baller as well. 33 minutes, 28 points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 block, 10 from 21 from the floor, 2 from 7 from deep, 6 from 8 from the charity stripe. Your thoughts on Ja Morant?
Well, we got into it a little bit earlier this week when I was last on, but I took Ja Morant in the second round of my fantasy draft, and I know that that is extraordinarily high, and the return on value is going to be tough to get there, but I am a huge believer in this kid. If everything breaks right, I feel like he could finish with a top 25 season. I know that's not going to be return on investment in terms of draft value, but I had to have him on the squad.
And let's have a look at a couple of other lines. Jonas Valanciunas, 29 minutes, double-double for 13 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal and a block. You've got to love it when he fills up those stat boxes. Got 2 from 6 from the field, 1 from 3 from deep, 8 from 10 from the charity stripe as well. A couple of other people to check out on. Rookie Desmond Bain, probably no value, but if you're in a dynasty league, at least keep an eye on him. He played 22 minutes, got 6 points, 1 rebound, 2 from 2 from the floor and 2 from 2 from deep. You love it when they do that sort of stuff. Dylan Brooks fouled out. 30 minutes he played, 19 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Got 8 from 23 from the floor and 3 from 11 from deep. Those kind of things are going to hurt you. So we've been down on Brooks, and I suggest you maybe look, if the minute he pops off, sell high. And that's probably the wrong word to use for an Aussie, but hey, we'll keep moving. And Brandon Clark, 20 minutes, 4 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 from 8 from the floor, missed his only shot from deep. Now, Dan Bespris said Brandon Clark missed training camp. He's running about 2 weeks behind with his timing. Hold steady or even buy low with a hot waiver tire type. Now, Justin Koff messaged earlier today and said, is Brandon Clark a drop-in 9 cat?
Well, I really think it depends. These questions are always very difficult for me to answer because I feel like it always is going to depend on A, what your team needs, and B, who's available on your wire, the depth of your league. And let me explain. If you're a team that has a strength in what Brandon Clark brings to the table, then he may be of less value to you than to a team that needs what he brings to the table. So the idea of his potential is less sexy, less intriguing, right? So you're able to move off him a little bit easier. That said, I have a hard time believing that even when his timing does come back, given the situation in Memphis that's developed with Kyle Anderson's integration, with Jaren Jackson Jr. coming into the picture eventually, I have a hard time believing he's suddenly going to become some sort of fantasy sort of savior or something like that. So to me right now, he's a luxury stash.
Okay, game 2, Oklahoma City. We get to see them for the first time this year, 109 at Charlotte, and beating them 107. And they held off a late Charlotte comeback with a shy SGA buzzer beater. Beautiful shot. We'll start off on the Charlotte side of things, shall we? And let me bring up my box score because I'm a bit running behind the times. And let's have a look at a guy who I think played pretty well for the Charlotte Hornets, and PJ Washington. And he played 29 minutes, 18 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 3 blocks, 7 from 15 from the floor, 1 from 3 from deep. Only shot 3 from 6 from the foul line. PJ Washington, did you get him late? How do you feel about him, especially if you did get him late or if he's sitting on the waiver wire?
I wish I had gotten him late. And if he's in any league that you're in, that he's on the waiver wire, please invite me to play in that league. And that goes for you or anyone else listening, because PJ Washington is going to benefit from Cody Zeller's absence. And he's a guy who I think is just going to be a nice little late round contributor for this fantasy season.
And a couple of other guys we want to have a look at. Devontae Graham, DVG, 33, almost 34 minutes, a double-double, 14 points, 3 rebounds, 10 assists, 1 steal, got 4 from 16 and destroyed your field goal percentage, but got 3 from 7 from a 3-point line and 3 from 5 from the charity stripe. We also got Scary Terry, who come back down to earth a little. Terry Rozier, 19 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 5 from 15 from the floor, 2 from 7 from deep. And LaMelo showed up and got some points today, which was unlike last time. He played 15 minutes, got 13 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist and 1 steal, 5 from 10 from the floor, including 2 threes. Maybe that is a bit of a confidence boost for LaMelo. And Miles Bridges played 23 minutes, 14 points, 6 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks and shot 4 from 4 from deep. Keep your eye on Miles Bridges if he is around. Let's have a look at at OKC. Now, I had a really hard time deciding who to talk about with OKC because I think there is legitimately 5 guys with value. They're like fantasy value. So let's start with the guy who won them the game, an SGA, and he shot 34 minutes, 24.7 rebounds, 9 assists, almost that trip dub territory. He got a block as well, 8 from 20 from the floor, 1 from 6 from deep, 7 from 10 from the foul line. SGA, is he, if he hits a triple-double every night, is he still that second-round sort of value that we saw people trying to grab him with?
Look, I mean, you don't love the field goal percentage, right? 40% on volume shooting. But the offensive stats are certainly there. And I think he's going to have to do something like this basically every night in order to justify that top 20 draft selection. Again, sort of like the reach with my team with Ja, you just have to be willing to sort of understand that to have this player on your team, you're probably not going to get the return on the stock that you might get with some of those mid to late round picks later on.
Okay. And a guy who, if you picked him up late in your draft, and if he is on the waiver wire, go and get him right now because he is going to win you your league. Darius Bazley, almost 33 minutes, a double-double, 15 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 7 from 12 from the floor, 1 from 5 from deep. Didn't get to the line, though. Mate, Darius Bazley, have you got any of him?
I don't, you know, and I actually just sold a couple of his cards as well. But that said, it certainly looks like he's going to get an extended look in OKC because who else in the theme of the Thunder season, and especially encouraging that he played 33 minutes with Al Horford getting 28.5.
Yeah, so let's have a look at a couple of other guys in OKC. George Hill played 24 minutes, got 21 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 8 from 9 from the floor, 4 from 4 from deep. He has value, so there's one to look out for. A trendy name that's running around is a breakout guy in Dort, played 34 minutes, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 5 from 12 from the floor, 1 from 4 from deep, 4 from 4 from the charity stripe, and as we said, Big Al Horford, 28 minutes, 3 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block, 1 from 5 from the floor, missed 2 shots in his attempt from deep. Al Horford, definitely want to get any of those three names, Hill, Dort, Al Horford, that you like?
Not particularly.
Quickly, I just need to pause the show for an announcement, and it's a fun one. It's free stuff. Everybody loves free stuff, and what is it? The Bruise Letter. It's back. Oh, yes, baby, it's back and fresh for the 2021 NBA season. Our founder, Aaron Brewski, is writing an email newsletter filled with his most intimate fantasy nuggets. It's exclusive content you cannot find anywhere else. It's not on the website. It's not on any podcast. It's not on social media. It's only in the email newsletter, and you can sign up and get it for free. Yep, that's what I said. Cost you nothing. Just go to bit.ly/brewsletter, brew as in B-R-E-W-S, then the word letter, 2021, and sign up in 10 seconds. Again, the site is bit.ly/brewsletter, 2021, Aaron Brewski, straight to your inbox. Now let's have a look at game number 3 and one that we touched on a little bit earlier in the Cavs' backcourt, and the Cavs up over Detroit, 128-119 in double overtime. Let's talk about the Cavs first of all, and a guy who Mr. Jolly has been salivating over because he picked him up fairly late in a few drafts, Darius Garland. Almost 44 minutes for this guy, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 12 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 9 from 14 from the floor, 3 from 3 from deep. Let's go in a little more depth for Darius Garland.
I mean, he's been great. He's been everything you could ever want in a late round pick. It looks like the minutes are going to be there. It looks like the opportunities are going to be there. And the Cavs are obviously a young team that wants to compete, and he's an integral piece to that puzzle, or so they hope. So good start for Mr. Garland, and kudos if you were able to scoop him up late.
And Colin Sexton played 45 minutes, 32 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 15 from 23 from the floor, 2 from 3 from deep, and missed his and one attempt. Colin Sexton, if you decided to pick him up between 60 and 70 in your draft, would you be happy with that right now?
I mean, I think you got to know what you're drafting, right? So you know he's a scorer. He's not going to be a huge assist guy, especially with Garland there. And you got to hope that the field goal percentage holds up. So again, so far so good for Sexton, and hopefully, you know, another year in the league is another opportunity for him to take a step forward. But you got to be happy with that volume of points so far in that spot in the draft. That's for sure.
And a couple of other stat lines to look at. Let's look at Andre Drummond, 43 minutes, 23 points, 16 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks in a mammoth performance. 7 from 21 from the line, missed his only 2 shots from deep, and 9 from 14 from the foul line. If you're going to get that volume, you kind of want him to do a bit better, but somewhat okay. Isaac Okoro plummeted to earth in 41 minutes, got a donut in the points column, a donut in the assist column, and only 3 boards, and missed 4 shots from the floor and 3 shots from deep. I'd be a little bit concerned based on that performance, but it is only one game, so I'd sit for a little bit. Kevin Love, in his first action back, played 37 minutes, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. He shot 4 from 12 from the floor, 3 from 8 from deep, 4 from 5 from the foul line. Did okay, what you'd expect. Larry Nance also shot back down to earth after his spectacular start in the first game. He, in 24 minutes, got yet another donut in the points section, but 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Shot, obviously, none from 3 from the floor and missed his only 2 shots from deep. And JaVale McGee fouled out, got 6 fouls in 14 minutes, but got himself 11 points and 2 boards to go with that. And the Detroit Pistons, shout out to Danian, who loved watching his man Blake Griffin do everything he can to get out of Detroit today, I reckon. And I'll start with Blake, 44 minutes, 26 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 9 from 21 from the floor, 8 from 16 from deep. Let's talk Blake Griffin. Those 3-pointers, amazing.
Yeah, is Blake Griffin, let me ask you a question, because I have Blake Griffin on a team and I'm curious on your take on this. Is Blake Griffin a guy you're looking to sell high on right now?
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's almost impossible not to.
And Jeremy Grant, 42 minutes, double-double for him, 28 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks, 9 from 14 from the floor, and 4 from 8 from deep as well for Jeremy Grant. After a pretty putrid preseason, he seemed to have woken up a little and feels at home in Detroit.
I mean, if you throw the bag at me, I'd feel right at home too. But no, in all sincerity, you know, he's a guy who got paid to be a producer. And if you drafted him, you're certainly liking what you see in this one.
We'll have a look at a couple of other lines. Mason Plumlee, 32 minutes, 6 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, shot 50% from the floor, missed his only shot from deep. DeLon Wright finally got some production in 42 minutes, 19.6 rebounds, 4 assists, and a block, shooting 2 from 3 from deep. And Killian Hayes, the rookie, 19 minutes, 3 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 from 7 in a putrid, shot from the floor. We've also got none from 3 from deep and 1 from 2 from the foul line. Killian Hayes, would you be rostering him in a 12-team league right now?
Yeah, I'm not feeling it, actually. I just had this sort of internal monologue with myself shortly before we started taping. And for me, I just think there's too much Derrick Rose there. He could be the starter, but if this is how it's going to go, then there's not a lot of room for upside here.
Game number 4, the Orlando Magic up against the Washington Wizards, 130 to the Magic, defeating the Wizards 120. Even at quarter time, and then Orlando hit the front. They did not look back. But we'll start on the Washington Wizards side of things because they are somewhat interesting. And Russ Westbrook's, mate, he has done another triple-double. He is a freak. So Westbrook is 36 minutes, 15 points, 15 rebounds, 12 assists, and 2 steals. Shot 6 from 19 in what we expect from the floor in 31% and missed 4 shots from deep. Russell Westbrook, do you think he is going to end up with you know, at least second round value at the end of this season if he keeps this up?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably somebody who would have gone higher than he did in most drafts if he didn't have the offseason that he did. That said, I do think he kind of is what he is, right? You're going to have an insane stat line across the box score, but you know the field goal percentage is going to be in the toilet. So if you got Russ Westbrook on your team and you're trying to win field goal percentage, it's probably not the winning strategy. But overall, I think he's going to be an asset to any club that rostered him sort of at a discount.
And Bradley Beal, 37 minutes, 39 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 14 from 24 from the floor, 2 from 5 from deep, 9 from 13 from the foul line, something you would expect a bit better of. Bradley Beal, mate, what are your thoughts of Bradley Beal?
Yeah, definitely not a discount if you have Bradley Beal on your team. I mean, he was first round pick, but that said, he's certainly looked the part. And as long as he stays healthy, the sky's the limit playing with Westbrook, because it's him, it's Westbrook, it's Thomas Bryant. And right now, with Davis Bertans still on a minutes limit, Washington doesn't have a whole lot of other offensive help that they can sort of call to the forefront here.
And speaking of Thomas Bryant, he's very much a hold in leagues. I mean, I was touting getting this guy at 65, somewhere between, say, 60 and 70, 65 being sort of the middle there. He's a hold. Trust me, things will get better. He 30 minutes today, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 8 from 11 from the floor, 3 from 5 from deep. Do you think Thomas Bryant is a hold?
Oh, easy. I mean, this is not even a question. It shouldn't even be in the waiver wire sort of discussion. And Thomas Bryant's a guy I've liked since his initial tenure with the Lakers, and I think he's got upside in Washington, especially if that backcourt can figure out a way to make all the parts sort of align there.
Would you try and buy low if there's a panicked Thomas Bryant owner?
Absolutely, 100%. Especially if you need big man help, because look, he's going to be a guy who doesn't necessarily play the most minutes, but he's a guy who can help you in points. He can help you in rebounds. He's probably not going to be a huge difference maker when it comes to blocks, but he can certainly contribute from behind the 3-point line as well. And, you know, we like bigs who do that and shoot it well.
Let's have a look at the Orlando side and Nikola Vucevic, the Vooch, 31 minutes, 22 points, 17 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, no blocks from the Vooch, shot 8 from 20 from the floor. He shot 2 from 7 from deep and 4 from 4 from the charity stripe. Vooch, your thoughts about him?
Yeah, I think Vooch is just a steady contributor, man. He's awesome. I mean, I think he sort of, if he played in a different market or for a different team, he might get talked about more as one of the more elite centers in the NBA, right? But he's just as steady as they come. And I feel like he's always drafted sort of at a discounted rate year over year basis.
And Mikal Fultz, who got himself an extension and a bit of a trendy name towards the start of the season in drafts, 31 minutes, 21 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, 7 from 13 from the floor, missed his only 2 shots from deep. Markel Fultz, if you could get him, would you? He certainly shouldn't be on any waiver wires, that's for sure.
Correct. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, Fultz is a guy who clearly the Magic believe in, although we found out that the third year on his deal isn't exactly fully guaranteed. I think it's only for a couple million. But that said, you know, he's playing 30 minutes a night, you know, 21 tonight, 7 dimes. You got to like that. And doesn't look like he's going to be a liability in any one category. So should certainly be a solid contributor, especially when the backup behind him, you're talking about Michael Carter-Williams. So I'm not worried about Cole Anthony either.
Yeah, and let's touch on Terrence Ross as well, who played 28 minutes, got 25 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, shot 64% from the floor and 3 from 6 from deep. And support for this, the box score breakdown, is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Big news, Manscaped just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over at all times. Who knew smelling this good can feel this good too? With the same signature scent that's in all Manscaped formulas, this cologne is a perfect complement to the collection. Light, approachable, gentlemanly in all the right ways. Think of it as your wingman for the night to keep you fresh and ready for anything. This beautifully designed glass or bottle makes a statement as well, and the manly scent is attractive to set the mood. It's dye-free, cruelty-free, hypoallergenic. It is paraben-free and 100% vegan. Also, to be sure, check out the Perfect Package 3.0 with all the essentials for your below-the-waist grooming needs, including the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer and crop formulations. Yes, I'm talking about the ball deodorant and toner to keep your testes besties. And now you can use the Manscaped's refined cologne to complete your set and smell great anytime, anywhere. It's time to feel sexy and your balls and your body will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code HOOPBALL20. Look good, smell good, feel good with Manscaped. Let's look at game number 5. And a shout out to James Brownette, who, like myself, is a Chicago's fan and was extremely frustrated with this game. The Pacers got up 125 over 126. Indiana dominated the second quarter and a massive defensive effort in the third quarter to just absolutely run away with this game. And let's start on the Pacers side with, one of my favorites, the Boner, Sabonis.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
He played 34 minutes, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. And yes, that is a triple-double, ladies and gentlemen. He also got one steal, 8 from 11 from the floor, missed his only shot from deep, and only got 6 from 11 from the charity stripe. Sabonis, wow.
I mean, it's tough to complain about the free throws given everything else, right? I mean, he's been nothing short of awesome, and as high as he went in drafts this year, I think that by the end of the season, assuming his health holds up, he's going to be that guy we look back at and say, man, he should have gone even higher.
And TJ Warren seems to be back after missing the preseason. 27 minutes, 23.6 rebounds, 3 assists. He got 10 from 16 from the floor, missed. He's only 2 shots from deep, though. I know a few people were contemplating dropping TJ Warren to the wire. Why would you do that? TJ Warren, what have you got to say about him?
Yeah, definitely not a drop candidate. I mean, look, you can't make any rash decisions after the first game, even the first couple. I mean, look, you really got to give first week at least before you make any what I would call bold decisions, and dropping TJ Warren would certainly fit that description. So stick with him. He'll be just fine.
And Victor Oladipo shot 25 minutes, played 25 minutes, 22.7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steal, 8 from 12 from the floor, and shot 5 from 5 from deep, and got 1 from 1 from the foul line. Victor, 5 threes out of 5. Not something we come to expect from him.
Hey, man, I like Oladipo, I thought he was a guy who probably should have been drafted a little higher than he was, and I'm glad to see him sort of put himself back on the map tonight. I don't think he's going to be Victor Oladipo carrying the Pacers on his back like we saw from him in the past, Victor Oladipo, but he certainly can be a valuable fantasy contributor, that's for sure.
And Chicago, let's have a look at those guys. Kobe White played 25 minutes, had like 9 points in the first 6 minutes, and then was almost shut out. 12 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block, 4 from 10 from the floor, and 4 from 7 from deep, which is a little bit different for him. Kobe White, are you concerned?
A little bit. I mean, I think you have to be, right? I mean, Donovan was pretty critical of him after game one, and it's not like they were exactly in it in this game either. So, you know, for me, you didn't necessarily invest a too high of a draft pick in Kobe White, but the first couple of games haven't exactly given you reason for optimism either. This whole Bulls team looks rather underwhelming, shall we say.
And Larry Markkanen, 27 minutes, 16 points, 9 rebounds, That's it in the stat sheet anyway. 6 from 14 from the floor, 2 from 8 from deep, and 2 from 3 from the charity stripe. But it looks like at least he may return some value, Ethan.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who, again, recency bias, right? People sort of forgot about him out of sight, out of mind. But I'm so weary with this entire Bulls team, given the construct, given the sort of chemistry there. I don't know what to expect on any given night. And, you know, as fantasy GMs, we try to be in the business of predictable production, and the whole team is such a variable. I hate to rely on that.
And having a look at a couple of other stats from the Chicago Bulls, Wendell Carter Jr., 27 minutes, 9.6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, shot only 2 from 10 from the floor, missed his only shot from deep. Otto Porter Jr. looks like he's a little bit of value if you picked him up right at the end, 19 minutes, 10.6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 from deep. And Pat Will, who seems to have a little bit of value in everyone, a bit of a buzzy name when it comes to the Bulls, played 22 minutes tonight, 9 points, 2 rebounds, only 1 assist, 1 block as well, shot 2 from 6 from the floor and got his 1 attempt from deep. That is that for the Chicago game. Let's have a look at the next one, which is the 76ers and the Knicks. And the 76ers 109, the Knicks 89, the Sixers remain unbeaten. They were equal after term one of this match, and then, of course, the 76ers ran away with it and never looked back. Let's look at the Philly side, and the guy who looks like he's returning is very much an all-star center in Joel Embiid, played 31 minutes, 27 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 10 from 20 from the floor, 2 from 4 from deep, 5 from 7 from the foul line. Joel Embiid's looking very, very solid, Ethan.
Yeah, you love to see it. I mean, this is exactly what you want to see if you drafted Embiid, and you want to see it time after time again. And it looks like he's going to be the centerpiece of Daryl Morey's puzzle here, at least so far.
Shake Milton seemed to struggle a little bit in this game. 22 minutes, 10 points, 1 rebound is all that he had. Shot 50% from the floor and missed 2 shots from deep. Tobias Harris started a little bit of better fashion than what he did compared to the last game. 30 minutes, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists and 2 blocks, including 2 from deep. Old Aussie Ben Simmons, played 33 minutes, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. You love those defensive stats. Shot 56% from the floor, which is usually a bit of an improvement from Ben, so we like to see that. And someone who we don't usually see too much of this time. We normally see more of, but we haven't of late. Dwight Howard, 15 minutes, 9 points, 6 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, 57% from the floor. How do you feel about any of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, for me, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris are the known products with the Sixers. Shake Milton's going to be streaky. That's sort of just going to be his MO, especially in this role. A guy on the Sixers who I really like, who is a guy who probably is going to wind up being a fantasy value, is Seth Curry, especially as long as he's going to be in that starting role. Scores enough, can, you know, get a steal here and there, handful of rebounds, handful of assists.
And those threes from Seth.
And those threes, no doubt. So, you know, for me, that's a guy I look to in terms of sort of where's the extra value in Philly. I look at Seth Curry for sure.
And we'll look at the New York Knicks, and some interesting news coming out of there for those guys is Obi Toppin looks set to be out for at least 10 days, did not play a minute. So that's for something for people to look at. And if that's the case, he's very much unrosterable in a 12-team. You can throw him on the wire. Before we do, though, let's have a look at Julius Randle, 35 minutes, 25.7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 11 from 15 from the floor, 2 from 2 from deep. Julius Randle, mate, looks pretty good.
Tom Thibodeau is going to ride Julius Randle as hard as this new era of basketball allows him to do. He's going to be the most consistent thing in New York's lineup, and he's a guy who probably should have been drafted a little bit higher in fantasy leagues.
And Mitchell Robinson seemed to do okay again. 25 minutes, 11 points, 9 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks, shot 5 from 8 from the floor. Mitchell Robinson, how do you feel about him, especially with Noel on a minutes restriction?
Yeah, I don't know that the Mitchell Robinson production will ever exceed the Mitchell Robinson Twitter fantasy hype, because we all want him to be so good so badly. But that said, I mean, I think that the opportunity is certainly going to be there. As long as he keeps the fouls in check, you know, he should be able to flirt with a double-double with at least a couple of blocks on any given night, and that's definitely what you want.
As I said, Noel had a bit of a minutes restriction, 16 minutes, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. So, you know, that guy, some value in limited minutes, definitely a hold, or as Dan Bespris, I think, tweeted earlier in the week, definitely a buy low. RJ Barrett being back to being RJ Barrett. Make a few people and a few fantasy analysts who don't like him quite happy. In 37 minutes, 10.6 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 2 from 15 and 13% from the floor, and missed all 6 shots from deep. Welcome back, RJ Barrett. Alfred Payton struggled a little bit as well in this game. 18 minutes, got a donut in the points, got 3 rebounds, 1 assist, missed all of his shots from the 4 or 6, and all 3 shots from deep. The probably point guard type guy who you'd want for them, Alec Burks, 30 minutes, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, filled up the cap nicely, and 4 threes to go with it. Would you be rushing out to pick Alec Burks if he hasn't been picked up?
Yeah, I would. I mean, he's clearly, like you said, he's going to fill that role. I think he's kind of giving them something they don't have right now, and looks like he's going to be a Tom Thibodeau favorite early as well. And when Tom finds his guys, you want to stick with those guys because you know he's going to stick with them.
And let's have a look at Game 7. Toronto Raptors 114, losing to the San Antonio Spurs 119. The Waps continue to be winless, and the Spurs continue to be undefeated in a bit of what seemed to be a topsy-turvy kind of game. We'll start with the Spurs side of things, and Dejounte Murray with a trip dub. 30 minutes, 11 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. That's it for the stats line anyway. 5 from 15 from the floor, missed 3 shots from deep and converted his only and 1 attempt. We'll have a look at Keldon Johnson as well. He played 28 minutes, shot 12 points, 9 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, shot also 5 from 15 from the floor, missed his only 2 shots from deep. Keldon Johnson and Murray, how do you feel about both of those guys moving forward, Ethan?
Yeah, I think Murray is the more known product of the two, right? But anytime a rookie or a young guy gets the attention of Greg Popovich and finds his way into the starting lineup, I think you got to pay attention. So Keldon Johnson's clearly going to have the opportunity. I think when Derek White's ready to come back from his toe surgery, Lonnie Walker's the guy who finds himself on the outside looking in terms of the starting five. So I think Keldon Johnson should definitely be rostered in 12-team leagues. And Murray, I think the upside is certainly there. You want him to be a little bit better from the field, but you love the across the box score production on the offensive side. You wish for some defensive stats, though, because we always like those.
And let's have a look at some of the older, more known guys at the Spurs. LMA, LaMarcus Aldridge, 29 minutes, 12.6 rebounds, 4 assists, and a block. Also got a shot from deep. DeMar DeRozan in 36 minutes, shot 27 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 10 from 17 from the floor, 3 from 4 from deep. And Aussie Paddy Mills in almost 30 minutes himself, 21 minutes, 1 rebound, 3 assists, 8 from 9 from the floor, and 5 from 6 from deep. Interesting streamer again, while Derek White seems to be out. Let's have a look at Toronto and their side of things. And Pascal Siakam in 43 minutes got himself a double-double, 16 points, 15 rebounds, flirted with that triple, 8 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 6 from 16 from the floor, missed 5 shots from deep. And the man we call Boucher, the water boy, Chris Boucher, 28 minutes. He got himself a double-double with 22 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 7 blocks. That, my friends, is juicy, juicy stats. 9 from 13 from the floor, 3 from 4 from deep as well. Wow, what's some value on Chris Boucher, Ethan?
I mean, that's the guy right there. I mean, Chris, you know, everything that we heard between Marcus Gasol's departure and the coaching staff was that he was going to have a bigger role, and sure enough, that's exactly what he's had. And we always knew that the upside could be there, and now we're seeing it. I mean, if you are able to snag him, you know, in the middle rounds, mid to late rounds even, you got to be thrilled with that, because it looks like it's going to be a phenomenal return on investment.
And OG Anunoby looks like he continues to be the Swiss Army knife, fill up all the stat boxes in 35 minutes, 10 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 1 block, got 2 from deep as well. Kyle Lowry, he is 35 minutes, 16 points and 10 assists for a double-double, 2 steals as well, 2 from deep. FVV as well, got 27 minutes, 3 points, 9 assists. He also got a steal and 5 from deep. Another guy is Aaron Baines with a bit of low-end center production in 20 minutes, 13.7 rebounds and an assist, and he got 1 from deep as well. And a question to you about Norman Powell. Is he droppable?
Yeah, I mean, yeah is my short answer, because I don't think the upside is necessarily there right now. What about for you? Is he a guy you're holding?
No, I think he's well and truly out. I think Toronto has settled on who they want to be and how they want to play, and I think they will continue until it shakes out to be productive for them and Nick Nurse. Let's have a look at the next game, game number 8, where we have the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Utah Jazz. 116 to the Timberwolves, the Jazz 111. Minnesota looking very, very solid. And we'll start with those guys. Karl Anthony Towns, Cat, 30 minutes, 16 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 4 blocks. He got 6 from 19 from the floor and 1 from 5 from deep. In a very interesting game for Cat. We've also got D'Lo, who decided to throw on this headband and look a little like Princess Leia. He got 34 minutes, 25 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. Shot 3 from 6 from deep as well, and only 4 from 8 from the charity stripe. Thoughts on those two?
Yeah, I mean, weird shooting night for Cat, like you said, only 6 of 19. D'Angelo, to me, he kind of is what he is. I don't think he's going to be anything more. I know him and Cat have been talking about playing together forever, but it sort of is what it is. I think because Malik Beasley is there, you know, you've also got Anthony Edwards, obviously, now off the bench as well. Who had 18 tonight. Jared Culver is the guy who's the most interesting to me. Only 20 minutes in this one, but I really think Jared Culver could be a guy who, you know, you sort of regret not picking up early in the season if he's still out there floating on the waiver wire.
And Jared Culver, speaking of him, in 20 minutes, as you said, 14.6 rebounds, 1 steal, and shot 3 from deep as well. And another one who is interesting that everyone likes to keep their eye on, the number one draft pick, Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, in 22 minutes, got himself 18 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 2 steals, shot 8 from 12 from the floor, and 2 from 3 from deep. Let's have a look at the Utah side. Rudy Gobert, as usual, and as dominant as ever, 29 minutes, 18 points, 17 rebounds, 2 assists, only 1 block, shot 7 from 10 from the floor and 4 from 6 from the charity stripe. And along with Rudy, let's have a look at Mike Conley, who got 33 minutes and got 20 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal, and shot 2 from 7 from deep as well. Thoughts on Rudy G, Mike Conley, Ethan?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, for me, Rudy is, you know, one of those guys who, again, he was the one who shut down the league last year. I mean, literally, right? But he's a guy who you know what he is. You know he's going to come through. I think he's got a lot of confidence after signing that extension to stay in Utah long term. And, you know, Conley's interesting because, you know, Donovan Mitchell hasn't exactly been lighting the world on fire to start the season. So I'm curious to see when Donovan Mitchell gets more into a rhythm, how that affects Conley. For me, if I drafted Conley, I'm probably looking to maybe even move him in sort of a 2-for-1 deal earlier in the season so I can upgrade at the position. But, you know, everybody sort of takes their own approach, but that would be mine with Conley.
And speaking of Donovan Mitchell, 37 minutes, 21 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, shot a paltry 26% from the floor, got 2 from 9 from deep, shot those 2 in the last few minutes of the game, and has really not been holding up to expectations. Joe Inglis, Ingles, I always stuff up his name, and that's just the Aussie accent for us anyway. 26 minutes, 10 points, 2 rebounds, and got 2 from deep as well for Aussie Joe. And another interesting name that you might want to keep an eye on and not necessarily rush out, Jordan Clarkson, 23 minutes. He got 23 points. He got 3 rebounds, shot 8 from 17 from the floor and 2 from 6 from deep. What are your thoughts on Jordan Clarkson?
Yeah, I mean, I like Clarkson. I like, again, another guy, ex-Laker, right? He's sort of settled into that pseudo sixth man role with Utah, where he's a scorer off the bench, kind of like in that Lou Williams kind of role. So if you need points, he certainly makes sense for your team, but you're not going to get anything besides that, really.
And let's look at the second last game, Houston v. Portland. It went to overtime, Portland getting up 128, the Rockets 126. The Rockets in their first hit out of the year amidst all of that coronavirus. And let's face it, they did pretty good considering Boogie's out, John Wall's out, and those guys are in isolation for 7 days. So let's look at James Harden, though. 43 minutes. Looks like he's been on the lemon detox diet for the last week because he's slimmed down a little. Still looks like a hobo, a homeless man. But hey, look, he did all right in his double-double. 43 minutes, 44 points, 4 rebounds, 17 assists, 1 steal, shot 12 from 22 from the floor, 6 from 13 from deep, and 14 from 16 from the foul line, along with his new buddy Christian Wood. 43 minutes, 31 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block, missed his only 2 shots from deep, shot 63% from the floor as well. Thoughts on those two guys from Houston, Ethan?
Yeah, I think they're both going to have ridiculous years. I mean, at least so long as James Harden remains in Houston, you know, that's going to be the team that is literally built around him. So I can't imagine him landing elsewhere and having greater upside, but a great debut for Harden, especially with all the noise surrounding him. And Christian Wood, I mean, he's showing everybody why you weren't afraid to draft him in the third round. I mean, he's a guy who's set up to have an excellent season, and even when DeMarcus Cousins is in the mix, I think Wood is going to continue to produce. I mean, you're talking 20 and 10 potential every night with a high field goal percentage to go with it.
Do you think PJ Tucker and Daniel House are interesting streamers while Wall and Boogie are out isolated?
Yeah, I mean, I like Tucker a little more than House just because I like Tucker. He does a little bit more of the dirty work. Obviously, Houston likes to play small, you know, so those defensive stats can be there. House is a guy who can help you from beyond the three-point line when things are going well. So, you know, he only had one tonight, but that said, obviously both those guys are going to get minutes during this little stretch here. So, yeah, if you need what they can bring to the table, I'd say either one is usable, but I prefer Tucker over two.
And let's look at the Portland side. CJ McCollum, 44 minutes, 44 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, shot 17 from 30 from the floor and 9 from 16 from deep. Dame Lillard, his mate, in 41 minutes, shot 32 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal, got 11 from 28 from the floor and 5 from 13 from deep. Those two guys just keep racking up the points. They're definitely interesting.
I mean, it's ridiculous. 14 of 29 from behind the three-point line combined for those two. And it just tells you about the sort of the construct of the Portland team, that those guys are pouring such an amazing performance and they still only beat this beat-up, sort of handicapped Houston team by a couple of points in overtime. So they're going to need more from guys like Robert Covington, Derrick Jones Jr., Yusuf Nurkic. I mean, Yusuf Nurkic was 12-11 with 6 assists in this game, but they're going to need a little bit more scoring help. So it should be interesting to watch Portland as their new identity unfolds, but I think they're going to need, especially from Covington, a little bit more offensively and find ways to integrate him.
And Nurk's mate, Kanter, 18 points, 10 rebounds, 9 rebounds, 10 points. He got 1 block as well. And then we have a quick squeeze at Rocco. Robert Covington, 9 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals and a block, and got 1 from deep. And for those wondering, Harry Giles, blip, didn't get on the court at all. Hey, before we get in the last one, mybookie.ag, we love a bit of a flutter here, love a bit of a bet. Now is the great time to get some skin in the game with MyBookie, where odds boost, lining deals and free bets await all season long. And with the NFL playoffs right around the corner, we know who these teams are, we know what they're capable of, and it's not difficult to find some value in those lines. So whether you're a first-time customer or have been playing MyBookie for years, there is no shortage of value to be found in the thousands of game lines, unique prop bets and contests they have on offer every single week. Sign up or get reloaded today, find an edge, make your bet, and get some cold, hard cash. Make the right play and sign up at MyBookie today. And when you do, use the promo code HOOPBALL to get your deposit matched halfway, all the way up to $1,000. The terms are simple. You put in $200 and they'll match it with another $100 in your account. And if you're already planning to bet this season, it's free betting money. It's winning season at MyBookie.ag. So come in and join the fun. Win some cash while you're at it. And please gamble responsibly. Our very last game, the Phoenix Suns 103, got beaten by an interesting Sacramento Kings team 106. Sac just too good to go 2-0. And interestingly, though, only 5 threes for the team for Sacramento. But the first guy I want to have a quick chat about, Harrison Barnes, who was just, you know, seemed to be performing in these first couple of games. 34 minutes for Barnes, 11 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block, shot 5 from 14 from the floor. Missed his only 2 shots from deep, though. And then pair that with his mate De'Aaron Fox, 35 minutes, 24 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, shot 3 from 7 from deep, 7 from 14 from the floor for a 50% field goal percentage. Let's talk about those two.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Harrison Barnes is one of those guys who could be sort of a surprise producer, right? Probably not a guy who you were thrilled about to get, you know, when you got him in the draft, but I think it could be a nice little surprise there. What do you think about Harrison Barnes?
Definitely a bit of a surprise. You know, everyone thought at the Warriors that he just was not going to do it. He seems to have been a little bit rejuvenated at Sacramento.
Yeah, and I mean, look, maybe he's taken to this new sort of, I shouldn't say new, but, you know, sort of regenerated or rejuvenated veteran role on this younger team. So I think Harrison Barnes, you know, he looks like he's going to be a key cog for Luke Walton, which is more than what some of these other guys can say on the roster.
Let's have a look at the box score for Rashawn Holmes. 24 minutes, 11 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, shot 3 from 5 from the floor and didn't try any from deep. And Marvin Bagley, another interesting one, 20 minutes. He got 13 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist, 5 from 10 from the floor, missed his only shot from deep, and only shot 3 from 7 from the charity stripe. And Mike Young reached out and said, should he drop Marvin Bagley because he only got 22 minutes tonight? What do you say, Ethan?
Absolutely not. I mean, I would have loved to see Bagley get more playing time in this one because in his playing time, I mean, the double-double is there. They drafted him ahead of Luka, for crying out loud. So might as well see what he can do out there. I think the potential for his role to grow is certainly there. But yeah, I mean, you'd like to see him play a little bit more minutes, especially to open up the season.
And on the Suns side, Jay Crowder seemed to have settled in a little bit. 32 minutes, 17 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. Shot 3 from 8 from deep, which is nice to see him get a bit of production. The same with CP3 and Chris Paul. 32 minutes, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 12 assists, 2 steals, and a block. 8 from 19 from the floor, 2 from 6 from deep, 4 from 5 from the charity stripe. Either of those two interesting to you?
Yeah, I mean, CP3 is always going to be interesting to me, man. I mean, he's CP3, but I think the biggest talking point early in the season for Phoenix has to be DeAndre Ayton. I mean, he's a guy who was getting drafted in the second round and hasn't exactly been lighting it up out there. I mean, 30 minutes tonight, only 9 points, 12 rebounds, 1 block. That's not going to get it done, but only 5 shot attempts for DeAndre Ayton. I feel like, given Crowder had 13, CP3 had 19, obviously Devin Booker had 21, so got to find a way to get 8 more shots. He can't be having fewer shots than Cam Johnson, who only played, you know, 25 minutes. And Cam Payne put up 4 shots in his 15 minutes. So more shots for 8, please.
Absolutely. Devin Booker, 38 minutes, 26 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, shot 3 from 7 from deep, 10 from 21 from the floor. And the last one, the last guy we're going to talk about today, or at least read out his stat line, the Swiss Army knife that is Mr. Jolly's favourite, Mikal Bridges, the small forward, 27 minutes, 9 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 3 blocks, 4 from 8 from the floor for a 50% field goal percentage, and shot 1 from 5 from deep as well. He is another one. If he is dingling anywhere on your waiver wire, and he shouldn't be, run out and grab him. He is definitely interesting. Hey, Ethan, that comes to the end of our show. Thanks for joining us again.
My pleasure, man. Anytime. Any place, any day, it's always beautiful to talk basketball, and fantasy hoops is a big part of it, baby.
Now, if anyone wants to reach out to you, they can get you on Twitter where?
Of course, at Ethan_Noroff, N-O-R-O-F, just one F on there.
And, of course, they can listen to you on the Hoopball Lakers podcast.
Of course, follow us on Twitter, at Hoopball Lakers. Subscribe, download, listen, anywhere where you stream your pods, we're going to be available. We come at you 2-3 times a week. Don't miss it. LeBron and AD and the boys are back in action, so you know we'll be right there with you.
And, of course, you can like, rate, review, subscribe to us. We are the Box Score Breakdown. I'll get it out. It's the end of the day. I'm a bit tired. So we are presented by Hoopball. Thanks for joining me. I am Scotty, your host. You can find me on Twitter at TheHarlander23. Mr. J, you can find him on Twitter at Mr. Jolly of Sydney. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll chat to you again real soon. G'day, take it easy.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.